We're going to read from God's Word tonight, from John's Gospel, chapter 3. It's such a well-known passage, as we read from Acts this morning, so well-known. But John's Gospel, chapter 3, and this wonderful conversation that Jesus has with an individual, a man who was supposed to be the leader of the people, and Nicodemus. And we praise God that he had, in one sense, the courage to go and ask Jesus about certain things. So let's hear about this man, Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practices evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." We thank God for his wonderful word that speaks to our hearts and to our lives. And we pray that wherever his word goes forth this night, that that word will not come back to him void, but will accomplish what he has set forth to accomplish. Amen. I wonder, have you ever tried to avoid people or situations in your life that you didn't want to face? I have, and perhaps you have on occasions, something that you've said to someone and you see them and you know that you've done wrong and you just don't want to see them. You pass them by, perhaps on the other side of the street. Or perhaps you wanted to ask a question or something more, like an item or a situation that you wanted to know more about. I know I've been in conferences with to do with insurance, and somebody have said something who was leading the actual situation. And I wanted to ask a question, but I was always afraid that I might be made look a fool in front of other men. Here is a situation that we have this night of a ruler of the people, and his name is Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. He's a Pharisee. He knows the law inside out and upside down. And he comes to Jesus by night. He comes because there is something that is plaguing him. There's something that he's searching for but cannot grasp. And he hears about this man, or he's seen this young man from Nazareth, an evangelist, a healer. He might have seen some of the miracles that Jesus did, but he certainly has heard about him, because he says here, this man came to Jesus by night. And he says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." He comes to Jesus by night. He doesn't want other Pharisees to see him. So he comes by night. He comes under a cloak. You know, lots of things are done in the night, don't they? I don't know if you've seen a lot of these robbers who rob people's houses. You know, they don't do it in the daytime because people are there. They do it at night when they hopefully there's nobody there or they're asleep. But here is Nicodemus. He comes to Jesus by night. He doesn't want the other Pharisees, leaders of the Jews, to see him coming to Jesus. They might think of him as a traitor, might think of him as one who is might thinking of following Jesus. We notice that he comes by night. He really wants to know more about this young evangelist healer from Nazareth. He calls him Rabbi. Well, it's not what some of the other Pharisees are calling Jesus. We notice in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 12 and from verses 24 on, when the Pharisees heard it, they said to his, said this, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons." You see, some thought of Jesus that, well, he's just from the backwater. He doesn't really know what he's talking about. He casts people out, these demons out by Beelzebub, the leader of it. But this is not what Nicodemus believes. He says, "Rabbi, teacher." That is important for us to realize, that this man comes to Jesus because he is seeking. He's seeking something that he hasn't got, and he comes to the right person. You know, people around the world, they seek for this. We just had a general election, haven't we? And people have thrown out the last government, and they got a new government, thinking and hoping that they can do better. But you see, when we look at people, they will let us down. Even this new government will let us down in some way or other. We don't know yet which by, but they will let us down because they're only human beings. Yet Jesus will never, ever let us down. And this man comes to the only person that he can get true answers to for his thoughts and his thinking. This man comes to Jesus. Nice that he comes to Jesus, but he's seeking something that is missing in his life. And you know, every person in the world is seeking something, whether it is riches or not, whether it's a good job or a home, a family, a nice car. They're seeking for something. There's something missing in their life, but these things will not satisfy them. This man is seeking something that will satisfy his inner being. And he's come to the right person, because it's only Jesus can satisfy the soul. That part of you that is really you, not your flesh and blood, but that which is made up inside of you, the soul. Jesus sees right into this man and what he's searching for. Look what Jesus says to him. He says to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus, you have to be born again. "Oh, hang on a minute," says Nicodemus. "Am I to be born? I'm old. Am I to go back into my mother's womb and be born again?" "No, no," says Jesus. "You are thinking of the physical, and I'm speaking about the spiritual. You need to be changed inside of you. You need to be get right with God. You are a leader. You are a Pharisee. You know the law inside out and upside down. And that will not get you to God, because you cannot keep the laws. You will break them in one thing or another." Remember that young rich ruler came to Jesus, and he said, "What can I do that I may regain eternal life?" And Jesus tells him 5, 6 of the commandments. And he puts his hand up and he said, "I've done those from my youth upwards." "Ah," says Jesus, "one thing you lack. What's that? What shall I do?" "Oh, sell everything you got. Give it away to the poor. Come, take up the cross and follow me." And we're told he goes away sad because he had great riches. You know, there's things that people are clinging to, holding tight, thinking that that can change my life. That can put me on the right road that leads me to eternity. And here's this man. He comes to Jesus and he says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb?" "Oh," says Jesus, "most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." You have to be born again. You have to know that you need to be right with God, because you cannot be right on your own terms. You know, this is the difference between Christianity and other religions. You other religions, you have to do something for yourself. You have to better yourself. But you can't. It's only Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's only he can lead you into eternal life. And here is this man. He's searching. He's seeking. And Jesus tells him clearly, that which is born of the Spirit is of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. Don't marvel at it. Come and accept it. Let Jesus take away your sins. Why? Because he was perfect and pure. He came into this world to do nothing else but to die on the cross at Calvary for you. Yes, he did miracles. Yes, he showed people how they were to live. He taught them and they said, "Never a man spoke like this man." But his main purpose was to go to the cross for you and for me. "Father, if it is at all possible that this cup should be removed from me, not my will, but your will be done." But there was no other way. He had to go to the cross to die for the sin of the world. Your sin and my sin. And here he's telling Nicodemus, this man who has come to seek something that was lost in his life, come to know this. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus says, "Well, look, you were a ruler, you were a Pharisee, you were a teacher of the people, and you do not know these things." Wow. "Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Look, says Jesus, you know about earthly things because you've got the law and you try to keep it. But you know, you make the law an offense. You know, people can't keep the laws. But you know what? I can change you. I can change you out of all recognition. Jesus draws him into a situation to show him who Jesus really is. And he does that today in men and women's lives. As the word of God goes forth, we are told that God's word will not come back to him void. It will accomplish what he sees fit for it to accomplish. The word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts right into the heart of men and women. The word of God will never fail. My word will never fail, says Jesus. And here's Nicodemus, and he's seeking. He wants to know the ways of life in a real way. He wants to know how to get to God. Why? Because something within him is telling him and drawing him to Jesus. And Jesus is bringing him closer and closer in. And you know, that's what he's done with you and me. If you were a Christian tonight, you didn't come to be a Christian just because you thought, today I'm going to be a Christian. Over the years before, God's word is drawing you closer. The word of God is speaking to your hearts and to your minds, and your minds is being transformed by the power of God, and you see that you're a sinner in his sight and you need to be changed from that position, and it's only Christ that can do it. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not believe our witness. You know, this is the world, isn't it? We testify to the world. We tell them that Jesus is the only Savior of the world, and they say, oh, no, we can save ourselves. We can do our best, and God will see the best, our best, and he'll say, wow, yes, good light. I love you. You come into my kingdom. But that's not the way. We have to realize that we are a sinner in the sight of God, that there are things in our lives that need to be dealt with that we cannot deal with ourselves. And here's this man. We know nothing about him beforehand, but he comes to Jesus by night. We know a little bit about him later on, and we'll explain about that. No one has ascended up into heaven but he who came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. And you know, then he hits Nicodemus right between the eyes. This is what he says. Look what he says. As Moses lifted up the serpent, and he draws him back to the Old Testament, to that wonderful passage in Numbers chapter 21, when the children of God had sinned against God, and God sent serpents amongst them, and they bit the people, and they died from the venom of the serpents. And they said to Moses, we have sinned, you know, pray to God for us. And he does, he prays to God, and God says, make a serpent, put it on a pole, lift it up, and whoever is bitten by the serpents, when they look at the serpent, they will live. Those who looked, lived. Those who didn't believe, didn't. They died. You see, it wasn't anything special in that serpent. It was faith and trust in what God was telling them, to look in faith to that serpent, and they lived. They looked in faith. And here Jesus is bringing Nicodemus to that situation. And he says, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I'm going to be lifted up, he said. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life or everlasting life. Wow. He's got him right in that situation in his palm of his hand, and he hits him. And he says, look back in your history. Look at that situation in Numbers that Moses was speaking about, and that serpent. And that's going to happen, he said to me. I'm going to be lifted up, and all those who come to me in faith will believe, or believe, will know eternal life. They will be saved. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that wonderful verse then, that is most quoted throughout the world. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. You know, it's a gift of God. You know, we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. We haven't paid for it. It's a gift. Do you know, when you have a gift from someone, you accept it. You don't say, I don't want it. Perhaps you might say jokingly, I don't know, I don't really want it, but thank you all the same. And here it is, the gift of God. The gift of God is his Son. He allowed his Son to come into this world, and his gift to this world is his Son. And Jesus is telling this man, this Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, this Pharisee who lived by the laws, he said, no, he said, it's a gift of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. Wow. That really hits Nicodemus. Boom. Twice now, he said to him. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you've been watching any boxing in the Olympics. You know, one or two punches and bang, it hits you. And it's too hard. Hits him right between the eyes. Everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the answer. This is the answer to every query of this world regarding my sin and what I've done in my life. Do you know, we turn the clocks back, don't we, in springtime. You know, when it comes to springtime, we turn the clocks back an hour. Or turn it on an hour, sorry, in springtime, back in the winter. And, you know, we'd love to turn the clocks back, wouldn't we, in our lives. Things that we've done, things we thought and things that we've said, you know. We'd love to have them wiped out as if they never existed. And Jesus tells us we can. By coming in faith to him and trusting in him, because he has taken the sin of the world upon his shoulders. And he's talking to this leader of the Pharisees, this Nicodemus, this man who knows the law inside out and upside down. He knows them right through. He tells him, God loves the world. Loves you, Nicodemus. He loves you tonight. And if you are not his at this moment, you can be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You can be changed and brought into the kingdom of God by saying, yes, Lord, I believe that you died for me on that cross at Calvary. You paid the penalty for my sin. And I come to you and say, forgive me. And you know, he'll come in. It's one sense, it's as simple and as easy as that. And yet it cost him everything. It cost him his lifeblood. He took our sin upon his shoulders. And he bled and he died for you and for me. But that isn't the end of the story. Jesus rose again victorious the third day. Wow. What a Savior, what a Lord. Jesus brings home to this man called Nicodemus, just like an arrow that hits him right in the heart. He says, you must be born again. And the only way to be born again is put in your faith and trust in me. The world cannot do it. Religion will never do it, although people try. No, we were in Israel some years ago. He went down to Bethlehem to where it's supposed to be the place. It took us into this church and down some windy steps down into a basement, and it's supposed to be there that where Jesus was born. And you know, we looked at this place, and some other people came in, and We found out they were Italians coming to this place, and And this dear old lady, she was on her knees walking towards this star that was in the center of this room, and she was kissing the floor. And I thought to myself, wow. You know, it's just the place where our Savior was born. Yes, perhaps it was. But what she was doing was probably what she thought was giving her more time to get to heaven. I meant went to do, get down and to pick her up, but I didn't. Perhaps I should have. And tell her that Jesus died for her. Although he was born in that stable, he lived a perfect, holy life, that he died the death that was ours by right. And that faith in him, you might know eternal life. Near is Nicodemus. Well, we don't hear much about this man Nicodemus after this interview with Jesus. But it must have made an impact on his life that nothing else had done. Because what we know that later on in John's Gospel in chapter 19, what we are told there in chapter 19 and verse 39, we are told that this man, Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night, also came with Joseph of Arimathea to take down the body of Jesus, to wrap it in linen and to put it in the tomb in the daylight. Not in the night. He was nailing his colours now to the mast. Is that you and me tonight? Are we nailing our colours to the mast of our Saviour Jesus Christ? Are we saying yes to him, that our hearts, which were searching, need no searching anymore, as we found in him? This man Nicodemus, I believe, was a changed person. Changed because Christ opened to him the way of salvation, opened to him the truths of what he was going to do on the cross at Calvary. And he pointed Nicodemus not only to the past, but also to the future, that he was going to die on that cross at Calvary for him and for the whole world, for you and for me. Is that you tonight? Are you a Nicodemus tonight? Have you come to that situation where you're asking questions about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you come to that situation where you've heard sermons upon sermons about coming to Christ and knowing him as Lord and Savior? Has it changed your life? Has it spoken to your heart that Christ came to change you and to bring you out of the stronghold, the vice that sin held you so tight? I know when I was a young lad in junior school, we didn't have what we used to call manual. I don't know if you used to call it that, woodwork. And we didn't have a woodwork place in our school, so we had to go down to another school to do woodwork. And there were vices there. And you would put the wood in the vise and you rammed that vise hard and tight so that the wood in there would not move and you could work on it. And that's what sin has to many. It grips them so tight they won't let them go. But you know what? Christ can set them free. And he does, as they put their faith and trust in him. And I'm sure this man did the same. He was a changed person. We don't know any more about him except when we come to that 19th chapter of John, where he goes with Joseph of Arimathea, who was a follower of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Wow. But they nailed their colours to the mast. Have you nailed your colours to the mast? Is this you? Has Christ come into your situation, in your life, changed you? Well, this is what John's Gospel is all about. This is what is happening here in chapter 3. This man, this real ruler of the Jews, this teacher, this rabbi, this Pharisee, the one who knew the law inside out, the law couldn't save him. But Jesus points him in the right direction. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Well, we pray tonight that that's you, that you've come to that position where you know him as Lord and Saviour of your life. Well, may God help us to do that. Let us to be a Nicodemus, seeking, searching, and finding the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Saviour. For his name's sake, amen.